Happy with the way the world is heading? Don't buy this book. Understand why you do what you do? Don't buy this book. At peace with your existence? Don't buy this book. Content with your relationships? Don't buy this book. The follow-up to The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson is finally here. Everything is Fucked, a book about hope, out now.
Hey there, listeners. This is Pat the Talking Bearskin Rogue from Flame On, right here on the Nerdy Show Network. If you're looking for some sweet, nerdy queer in your ear, then head over to nerdyshow.com/flameon and check us out. We cover everything from TV to movies, comics to drag queens, and so much more. For a gay and geeky slice of pop culture life, get ready to flame on.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Everybody, welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 164, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star. With me is the hard man with hard opinions, AFLM.
Running around at the speed of sound.
Our security guy, Greg.
Hola.
King Baby Duck, Evan.
I got a nice little pimp cane with a chaos amarel on top.
And Elite Four, Derek.
I don't have an entrance song.
I wish I had a Sonic entrance song.
Running around.
Let the speed of sound follow me, and you'll see. Chase me, and we will escape from the city.
So, Sonic trailer drops.
Yeah, we're gonna be talking about it. Actually, it dropped a while ago, and
well,
now
this recording.
Yeah, and now we're gonna be moving on to other things. So we figured that seeing that both Sonic was announced and Detective Pikachu is came out at this time. We might as well just talk about video game movies for a while. We'll talk about their history. We'll talk about some good ones, some bad ones, mostly bad ones probably. So,
well, because there's not many,
like all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not that many.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of really good ones, but then you look behind you and you see the little shit pile of all the bad ones.
And, we're gonna exploit them all. So, that's what's in store for today. Otherwise, it's just going to be a regular old episode of Wicked Anime.
Are you saying it's going to be a regular show? Oh!
Copyright infringement. Yeah.
That was a dated reference.
Because it's after Con Month.
Yeah.
Aww. After Con Month.
I miss Con Month already.
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who don't either. They're like, thank God they're not talking about cons anymore. I just scrolled
thank
through
God
my
we're
phone.
Not at Anime Boston anymore. It was fun, but I'm exhausted.
I think I got the ever first bit of con fatigue I've ever had after this convention.
I just scrolled through my phone and I found all the Con Month topics that we have never gotten to talk about yet. So hopefully they'll come up in the future, like tired con memes, weird cons. And
Sasquatch Con.
Yeah,
the best con that never was. No, things like
and
that
nobody ever listened to.
Can I actually open up the floor for a discussion topic with is it just me, or did it feel like Anime Boston this year was a weird vibe? It didn't feel right this year.
Oh, yeah, you know what that is.
You know what? I was talking to Derek about that in our hotel room, like Saturday night, like how weird it felt.
Well, you know what that is, right?
Low T.
No, well, maybe because
all the Mountain Dew.
Maybe, but we're old. That's just what it is. Yeah. We're just too old for cons now.
Yeah,
no, please don't say that.
I mean, we are, but. There was a weird vibe this year where, like, nobody had energy. There was no energy. Like, I mean, especially at our shows, there was no energy. It was very low-T at our shows and very, like, somber and people were rude this year, and not like the staff, but like I'm talking about like attendees were just rude this year. And
oh, we've had that all the time though.
Oh, I mean if you step into an anime con, then you're gonna be like getting the weebs and like ugh, and the screeching ugh, like ugh. I was talking to Jen who was palling around with us all weekend in a Wicked Anime t-shirt about that, and they were all at a Overwatch photo shoot over the weekend, and she was telling me about the visible disgust on my face, like, and how funny she thought it was. I was like, half of the reason why I was doing it was because it was funny, but it was totally truthful. Like, the me being at a photo shoot and just being in utter disgust of all these people that were there screeching for no reason, yeah,
for people dressed in costumes.
Yeah, and I was just like the whole time I was just like, you understand that these are not the real characters, right? Like, these people aren't real, they're fake video game characters, and people are like screeching like these awful sounds.
Well, there was also
you know what, okay, can I bring up something from the very... So this kind of reminds me back in the Anime Boss of 2008, the very first one, and me and a couple of my other friends were in line, and we were in line right in front of a bunch of like yaoi fangirls. So for a big laugh, my two friends decided to like kiss, but it was a kiss where they actually put their thumbs in between their lips so they didn't really kiss. But even that made the yaoi fangirls, like, scream their head off. Like, it was, like, the greatest thing in the world.
I forget what happened during this year's, when they were showing the AMVs during the closing ceremonies. There was a girl who's, like, there was a clip on the screen, like, in an anime that she's seen before, to put together by somebody else's music. We don't need to go over this again. Everybody knows how much we hate AMVs. But, like, she screamed so loud and so yeah. high a pitch. I think there was blood in her mouth at the end of that scream.
It was either blood in her mouth or blood coming out of
like,
our ears.
Totally, totally serious. Like, this was the loud... like
into her mouth.
The funniest one, though, was when they were showing the Zombieland Saga AMV, and there was a low in the music, and the guy just goes, "You suck!" Like, I laughed so hard.
Yeah.
Like, because it was like, thank God, another person who has my disdain for AMVs.
I don't even know if it was that. I think it was just whatever was happening
on
the screen.
It was so funny because it was like, "You suck!" Like, suck. Dead silence in like the...
Yeah.
Didn't he make another comment, too, on another
video? Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
I think he did, but I forget what the other one was. It wasn't as hilarious as that was, because that was so funny.
Perfect timing.
It was perfect timing. Somebody, I forget who was sitting next to me, but somebody asked me, was like, was that a part of the video? Like, because it was so well-timed.
I did. I asked you, like, so I was like...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was actually part of
the video. I thought it was, like, Jen or Victoria.
Or it sounded like somebody, like, behind us. Because it sounded like somebody behind us, but then I was like, no.
It was
like,
so well-timed and so audible. We thought it was part
like
of the video.
It was, like, really
for
clear.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow, okay. But it was funny. It was really funny.
So should we talk about some news stories?
Yeah. I got news valve.
Yeah.
We should start with the thing that we have already dropped out of the bag, which was the news that not only that did the Sonic trailer drop, but now, because there was so much hate, so much blue fiery lightning bolt hate for the design of Sonic for this live action movie, that the design,
I believe the it was that this was the people watching trailer.
I don't know. That was the trailer, and then the people watching the trailer
were just
laughing
hysterically.
Hang on. I actually thought the movie looked decent, except for Sonic himself. I liked their pick of Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey is Dr. Robotnik. That could probably save the movie.
I cannot wait until they release the new documentary, Dr. Eggman and Jim.
Yeah, we'll see. And see, that's just it. It's just like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm sure Jim Carrey was a good choice, but I just have no respect for Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, it's like Bob Hoskins. Like, Bob Hoskins was like, I don't know what Mario is. My nephew told me
his
that.
His son had to tell him what
like,
Super
was
Mario
that
was.
Mario was a video game character. Apparently Jim Carrey is the same way. He didn't know. He doesn't. He's like, what is it? Like,
I don't think. Oh, come on. Because he grew up during the era of Sonic the Hedgehog, back when he was like on In Living Color. He has to have some sort of knowledge.
He might, because I saw like interview quotes with him with like Hollywood Insider saying that he didn't know what it was. He was like quoting Nintendo characters. They're like, no, that's Nintendo. He's like, oh, whatever, it's a paycheck. But then I tried looking for the Hollywood Insider interview and I couldn't find it. So
it could have been fake.
It could have been fake easily.
So when he was doing stand-up in the 90s, because I actually recently watched a clip of one of his old stand-up routines, I think he was in his like early 30s in the early mid 90s. So mm-hmm. I don't know if he grew up with Sonic, because Sonic was what, late 80s, right?
Yeah.
Early 90s. Well, when I mean, first
yeah,
came
yeah I think it was the 89.
Yeah, probably. Late 80s, early 90s, whenever the Sega Genesis. Because basically Sonic became the mascot of Sega. So.
Right, so I think he might still be too old for Sonic or Mario.
It's possible.
Yeah.
We don't know. But we don't know with these actors. It's mostly just a paycheck for them anyway, and Jim Carrey's a nut job, so it's just like he can do a really good Dr. Eggman. So is he Dr. Eggman or Dr. Robotnik?
It's both. You know, well, I know it's Robotnik in the movie, but he could evolve into Dr. Eggman as the film progresses.
That's true, but like the anime or the Japanese cut is Dr. Eggman, and then the Americanized version is Dr. Robotnik.
Did you guys not watch till the end of the trailer? Because after
no,
they
no,
like...
I saw it, and and I can guarantee that shot is like the dead end of the movie. Like that's not even going to be in the movie. That's the dead end of the film.
Like, yeah, Yeah, it's either like the last couple minutes when Sonic
or
fights
an after credits scene.
I really hope it's Sonic Spinball, like that's like the end of the movie.
Well, but no, but did you see that in the background? It's a bunch of giant mushrooms, so it's like Mushroom World from Sonic and Knuckles.
Oh,
that would be interesting.
So that's another thing about the trailer too that I had noticed was that When Sonic is in the truck with that guy and said, so I guess I have to save your world now.
Yeah, like he's an alien?
Yeah, like he's an alien or he came from another universe or something like that. So it was like, I guess so.
Yeah, and then...
which, you know, doesn't really go much with canon, especially because... Did you guys ever read the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book? Like the Archie Comics ones?
Yes.
Because there was the issue where they revealed that Planet Mobius was Earth, but had been changed like a thousand years in the...
Right.
In the past.
Right. So here's my prediction for the movie. The after credits scene or the dead end of the movie is going to be that shot we saw in the trailer of Jim Carrey as, like, classic-looking Dr. Robotnik. Which was also funny because I saw a meme online of him dressed as Thermite from Rainbow Six Siege because he looks exactly like it. My prediction is there's going to be an after credits scene or something at the tail end of the movie that either shows or introduces or suggests that Tails is going to, like, oh, we found more animals, or, oh, there's more animals affected by this. Like, because Sonic is created by some sort of scientific experiment.
I think he's from a different plane of existence.
Or maybe from a different, but somebody's going to be like, there's more of them. Like, and just either suggesting that Tails and Knuckles exist, or they're actually going to show Tails, because I think the movie, regardless, is going to end with some sort of hint towards Tails, because you can't have Sonic without Tails.
So,
how about this? Can I throw a curveball at you?
Sure.
How about a crossover leading into a Mega Man movie?
Because there is a Sonic and Mega Man comic.
Well, okay, so... Yes.
And not to mention, they are making a Mega Man movie, too.
Oh, they are? Oh, crap. Never mind, then.
Well, so, that's what's funny about it, is because we really don't know what their plan is for this movie. Like, as far as I know, they're probably going to end it on a cliffhanger, but it's never going to get a sequel, because it's going to be really bad.
It's going to be as good as the Rocky and Bullwinkle live-action movie.
Ooh. Ooh.
But more of a dumpster fire.
Oh. All right.
But, I mean, if you thought Sonic looked bad, if that photo I saw online of Tails, that's a true dumpster fire in Tails.
Well, that's a meme.
I thought there was, like, legitimate design for Tails. I'm like, wow, did they even, like, try?
No, that's not.
That's a taxidermy meme. Like, somebody tried to taxidermy a fox, and they were an amateur, and that's what it looked like. So that's actually, like...
There's actually a museum for shitty taxidermy. That's where it's from.
Yeah, so it's like that's like a 5 to 8 year old meme, believe it or not.
Okay, that went way over my head. Okay.
Anyways, so the article was saying that there was so much hatred for Sonic's design online that they're going to change it. Mm-hmm. The artist from Paramount's like, I heard you. We're going to change it.
The director actually said it.
So, and that actually changes up a little bit, because directors like to talk out of their butts. So I don't know. Like, you know how much work it takes?
Did you hear the conspiracy theory, though?
What's that?
The conspiracy theory is that they already have the fixed Sonic because they know how horrible the design was.
Okay.
And the conspiracy theory is that they released the horrible-looking Sonic trailer to get the publicity out. And that people would hate it, and then people would see it, so that they could fix it and make it better, and that more people will now go see it because they already have this fix on it.
Now, you see, now I have the idea in my head where the next trailer will be of the first trailer, and then it's the new-looking Sonic watching the trailer being like, what the hell is wrong with these people? That's not how I look.
That would blow their plan.
Yeah, because here's the thing. When I first heard the article that you sent us, Evan, that the director is just like, okay, we're going to go back and we're going to change it, I was like, no. Because that's not how Hollywood works. Producers would never, ever, ever let a release date slip like that.
They're actually just splicing in extra footage from Will Smith's Genie.
And yeah, so that's not the way that Hollywood producers and executives would never go for that. They just want to release a crappy film to make money. A director doesn't have that kind of creative control to say, hey, we're taking this back and changing it because we heard your voices. That doesn't work. Yeah. It's not how it works at all, ever.
Unless the producers told him to say that.
Unless the actual producers said, hey, we're releasing this movie late now. We are now delaying this movie. Because there's no way they're going to make release date and change all of Sonic.
But that would mean that they would get a statement from either Paramount or the producers themselves.
Not the director.
Not the director.
The director is kind of like the face of the movie, so...
I know, but, well...
It's basically it's the whole mentality of, like, we need somebody to be mad at, so...
So, yeah. If this Sonic's no good, who would you cast as the new Sonic? Because, like, where else are you going to find, like, little blue guys running around?
Jim Carrey.
The blue chick from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
The Smurfs extras.
Oh, Veruca?
Veruca no. Salt?
No, that's the...
No, that's the red... That's the red one. Violet.
Oh, Violet.
Violet! Yeah.
Violet Beauregard.
It's turned into the blueberry.
That's right. Violet Beauregard, yeah.
Yeah, she's round enough. She can do the little Sonic spin.
Or if you do the... Get the girl who was after the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory one. She was, like, super flexible.
Yeah.
And still blue, so she could probably...
Turn blue.
She probably move pretty fast.
Yeah.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Just roll her down the street. Gotta go fast.
Sonic Spinball. What else we got? That was a pretty good discussion on the Sonic.
How about, so we're in a new era of Japan now.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, Reiwa era.
Yeah, we're moved from the Heisei era to the Reiwa era, and now the Empress of Japan found out that she went to Belmont High School in Massachusetts.
Yeah, here in Massachusetts.
Wait, she found out that she...
No, we found out.
No, we found out. Masako Owada
found out.
Is,
I was like, how did she
part of the class of 1981.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty awesome. And like,
it doesn't have anything to do with us, but it's kind
of
cool.
Well, no, so the question from me is, so was she born here or was she born in Japan?
She was born in Japan. So okay. Apparently, like in her notes in the yearbook, it says, thank you so much for inviting me into your country and experiencing high school over here.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Boston has taken over Japan.
Like, yeah.
Do you think she goes to the reunions? Confirmed. And if so, how she must stack up against everyone else who goes?
Yeah. So, what are you doing? I'm still at the same job I've been at for 30 years. How about you? Oh, I'm just the empress of the coolest country in the world. No big deal.
Her first action as empress is to put a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner.
Yes. I dig it.
Yeah, and she will walk across the streets to those corners without looking in both ways before crossing.
No joke. My friends from Japan who I went to college with missed the crap out of Dunkin' Donuts because there isn't a single one over in Japan.
That's awesome.
Do they have a Starbucks over there?
Oh, they have a ton.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they have even the better drinks in Japan.
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't drink coffee, so like I wasn't keeping my eye out for coffee shops. So the entire time I was over in Japan, I saw no Starbucks
at all,
or any coffee shops.
There's a lot more in China, actually, than Japan.
Derek's the one you really should be asking, because he knows all about Starbucks.
Yeah, because I work for a coffee company.
He works for a coffee mogul of some sort, so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry, Derek.
So he has to know all of his competitors, and so he just knows a lot about coffee shops in general.
He knows so much about his coffee shop that he has 3 books. The exact same book by the owner of the coffee company.
That's a bad joke. I've never read a single one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 3 copies of the same book, too.
Hey, look at it. Hey, look, I can now use my pointing stick. All 3 books right here.
Cool. So happy
Reiwa, everyone.
Reiwa. Happy Reiwa.
Reiwa. It's got me on my knees.
Oh my.
All right, George Takei.
What's next?
Oh yeah, I have all the news here.
I've said my pieces.
All right, so a recent poll by the Japanese otaku culture news site Akiba Shoken
has statisticking.
What?
It's been a long time since we statistics.
Yes, statistics. Showcased the Japanese fans' picks for their favorite isekai, another world-themed anime.
Mom isekai.
So, alright, we all know all types of isekai. It's basically all we watch these days. So, yeah. I'm going to bring it over to the floor, and I'm going to have you all guess where... Give me the name of an isekai, and see where it ranked on the list.
Shield Hero.
Sword Art Online!
I was actually going to say Sword Art Online is easily going to be the one.
Sword Art Online doesn't even make the list.
Greg's cheating.
Good.
Greg's cheating.
No, I don't know the definition for isekai. I'm sorry. I'm looking it up.
Okay, so an isekai anime is...
Shield Hero. Somebody from the real world moving to a fantasy world.
So Shield Hero is number 5 on this list.
Okay, Shield Hero is number 5. Konosuba.
That is the number 1 pick.
Good.
Yeah, good. It is the best out of all.
Where is Reincarnated as a Slime?
Number 2.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. So, does that mean Sword Art Online is number 3?
No, I told you, Sword Art Online isn't even on this list.
Oh. Oof. Well, I guess technically it's not.
Where is Mom Jeans?
Which one?
Mom Isekai.
It's not on there because the anime hasn't premiered yet.
That doesn't matter. It's a Mom Isekai. It's got to be on there.
So it has to be. So it specifically has to be an anime.
Yeah, it has to be an anime that came out.
Okay, so then the.
I was just thinking that the power of Mom Isekai was going to be so high that it just made the list regardless.
So that means that there's no chance of the one being reincarnated as a hot spring is going to be.
Oh, and reincarnated as a vending machine.
Yeah, the vending machine one.
So stupid.
they'll reincarnate you into anything.
Wait, where'd you get the vending machine? What?
That's well, the guy gets reincarnated as a vending machine in this one light novel series.
Oh, is it on?
And see how what they do is that the vending machine, the guy stands there in the vending machine, and he coaxes the monsters to buy something from it, and he keeps rejecting the dollars. And as they're being frustrated by that, his friends come and just kill the monster as they're trying to get something from the vending machine.
Oh my gosh, Japan, stop!
This is what I'm assuming it's going to be like.
So, what's number 3 then?
ReZero.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that makes sense. So is the top 4 just the ones that are in that quartet anime, isekai quartet?
No, actually. Oh, so, Konosuba's number 1. Yeah. ReZero's number 3. Saga of Tanya the Evil's 10. And Overlord's number 9.
What was number 4?
Ha! And another world with my smartphone.
I knew it! Oh my gosh, I was actually going to say that one. Where does Death March Rhapsody?
That is number 8.
That's too high!
Yeah.
It's higher than Overlord and Tanya the Evil.
Oh man.
Actually, good shows.
That show was so bad. Like, I cannot stand how bad Death March Rhapsody was, because it's just like such pedophilia. It's crazy.
Wait, march into a jail cell.
You guys hated Overlord?
No, it's just number 9 on this list.
Demon Lord? That's actually number 18.
Oh, that's
good. That should be higher, yes.
Which one was 18?
Demon Lord.
I'm
kind of lukewarm on Overlord, because Overlord is kind of
You see, I enjoy Overlord because it got to, like, in season 3, the big joke was Aynes Al Ghul finally figuring out that he's the bad guy in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he
knew
he was. Yeah, I thought he didn't.
I actually haven't seen that.
He was like, in season 3, he's like, wait, we're the bad guys?
I didn't know either, but because as far as I got was like the reptiles banging each other, and then I was just like,
oh yeah, for I like mentally pushed that out of my mind.
Well, because I thought it was so stupid that I was like, is this whole scene, this whole season about the lizards? Like, I don't care about
that. Was season 2, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I didn't care.
Yeah, about half of the season was about the lizards, and then it went back to Aynes.
Yeah, so maybe
season 3 was a lot better, by the way. I actually enjoyed season 3 much more than season 2.
Well, it was a lot more waifus in season 3, right?
More waifus and more Aynes time.
Yeah. Well, I see, the only thing that matters to me is if there's Alabeto. If Alabeto's
in... Oh, yeah. Game. Oh, my God. The season 3 premiere of... with Alabeto, the very first episode, is hilarious. And it revolves around her.
She is, like... so crazy for, like, the dick that he does not have. Like, it's just, like...
Well, how do you know? You haven't been
on this role. Are you gonna watch it?
He's a skeleton!
He's a skeleton, man!
It doesn't matter. He's a grand mage. He can just whip one up, bam.
I guess that's true. Yes.
he can get a great boner.
Well, here's... Are you guys gonna watch the season 3 at all?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so...
Greg is.
I will.
Greg is, and maybe I'll catch up.
All right, so in season 3... she's trying to ride, which is a creature
we said we are going to watch it. Are you going to spoil it for us?
In that case, no. I won't.
Yeah, don't spoil it
for us. No, don't tell us.
But let's see. Here's another disappointing. At number 19, Outbreak Company, which should totally be higher on the list.
Oh, Outbreak Company's great because it's just cat girls and dog girls.
It's just because it's old.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
You know, Outbreak those Company who hunt really elves is number 20.
I legitimately enjoyed Outbreak Company, even though, like, the main character was just a bitch. Like, he was such a puss.
I can't think of any more. Like, I'm so disconnected from isekai.
All right, so another favorite of mine, Devil is a Part-Timer, was number 13.
That's considered an isekai?
Well, it's a reverse isekai. He goes from...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because he goes from the fantasy world to the real world.
Very good. Oh, what about that show that came out a long time ago that was really well animated but super etchy? I couldn't find a job, so I couldn't be an adventurer, so I reluctantly got a job.
That doesn't even make the list.
Ah, I remembered one that they didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Old
ones, Familiar Zero is number 12.
That's the one that I was thinking of, Familiar of Zero. I forgot that one was even considered an isekai. That one was, I gave up on that one after 2 episodes.
And No Game, No Life was number 6.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. No Game, No Life deserves to be on that list.
I watched all of Familiar of Zero.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was cute. It had some good characters.
A terrible beginning, though. Remember?
It actually had an ending.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought it had a good beginning, because I thought the concept was hilarious.
I did, too.
That it was just like, oh, we're summoning our familiars, and then she summons a familiar, and it's a human, and it's just like, oh, okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but do you remember that, like, at the beginning, though, when she had... like, had him fight that other wizard guy, and was like, but I can't use magic. And so we were expecting, oh, he's going to be a human, and he's going to punch him.
Yeah.
Because then he didn't.
Yeah, because he's normal isekai character, so he's yet again a puss.
Yeah.
So I seriously hate animes that have that, where it's just like, oh, main character is he sucks. Oh. Yeah.
That's why I hate To Love Ru. Because Rito is such a whiny little bitch who screams every time he sees tits.
That's basically a hentai.
And that was
To Love Ru. Yes, To Love. Did you know Do you know in the manga of To Love Ru, he actually hides, like, the girl's vaginas in his eyes.
Oh yes, yes I did.
Yeah, the reflection. He actually puts them there.
Yeah, the reflection of his, like, eyes. Like, there's actual, like. He actually, without...
Like, draws them
Yeah,
in.
Draws, like, vaginas and the eyes and stuff.
And it doesn't need to get sensors. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. That's actually fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know that.
I have heard about that, yes. but I don't read To Love Rue, and I don't even I hardly even know what it is.
It's not that good. I wouldn't.
I feel like it would be a super frustrating. Like everybody loves it, but I just feel like it would be super frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating because I love harem animes, but I also think harems are also the most frustrating animes because the reason harems exist is because they're trying to fall in love with somebody, but then the story would be over if they actually fall in love with somebody. So they have to be secretly in love with somebody for like a million episodes or a million volumes or a million chapters or whatever. And you're just like, oh my gosh, just fall in love with somebody. And like, cause,
it's like,
that's why I'm really liking, We Never Learn. We Never Learn is a fun harem because it's like, they slowly learn that they like him. Like when it first starts off, you're just like, oh, it's not a harem. And then it slowly turns into a harem. But like there's that one girl that has a crush on him from the beginning. So like you're not guessing like, oh, do they like him or don't they like him? You just know like whether they like him or not. And so it's kind of, I think that's kind of refreshing, which is nice.
Well, that's why I kind of like Love Hina. It's because the relationship and the love kind of like builds up during the time.
Well, see, and the nice thing about Love Hina as well is it actually has an ending. That the problem with most harems is they don't have endings because they're usually based off of visual novels, and visual novels are like choose your own adventure, and so a lot of them are just like, oh, and they never find out. It's like, ugh, I hate this. Basically, like blue ball.
Choose your adventure when you buy the game. This whole 13 episode series has just been an infomercial for you to buy this game.
Yeah, or surprise, we have them pick the worst choice ever. Or emo.
Which is the case.
Or surprise, we killed him off before anybody can confess their love.
Yeah, Golden Time, or Toradora, or any of those other harems that are just awful.
I actually like Toradora. I got mad that the two of them got together in the end, because I actually wanted them just to be helpful friends to one another. But no, all in all, I did like Toradora.
No, I actually genuinely love Toradora. I really do genuinely enjoy Toradora, and I think it's good. He chooses the wrong girl, which is what frustrates me. Golden Time was just trash.
And it wasn't until you had to show me how trashy it was before I started like disliking it.
All right, what do we have next?
Okay, so are you guys ready for more laid back camp?
I don't know.
Did you say laid back camp?
Laid back camp has officially announced that it's going to be coming back this January.
Yeah. Oh, that's so far away.
It's so far away. Like, and here's so the thing. Ready. It's so apparently what's first going to air are the new shorts for Heia Camp.
Okay.
And then after that will be season 2. I think will be the summertime.
Is Heia Camp starring Andre 3000?
No, you're thinking Avengers Endgame.
Oh, I guess I get that joke.
Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. Okay, well, I guess I can wait another year for whatever.
It's just 7 months.
I know, but the whole summer is going to happen. Are they going to be camping in the wintertime?
Well, that's what they've technically been doing.
True. It's just breaking the immersion. It's not the time of the year I want to go camping.
I know, yeah, that's so true. I it would be really cool if they did like a summer camp. Like summer camping trips.
That's what I'm hoping the movie is. And it would be like just this really funny film about high school kids trying to camp and just failing miserably.
It's going to be an 80-minute long beach episode.
Ooh.
I'm okay with that.
Well, they're high schoolers, so that's creepy.
Remember, high school age in anime is college age in real life.
So saith the weebs.
And that little demon girl over there is really 500 years old. Yes, we know.
All right. Well, speaking of cute little characters, Cells at Work is coming back with a new manga series, specifically on those adorable platelets.
I heard about this.
Yeah, I heard about this as well.
I don't know how you could make a series just based on the platelets.
Because the original series wasn't really about anybody specific in the first place. It was kind of about like the whole thing.
I can actually imagine them being like the characters that go around cleaning up the mess and kissing all the boo-boos.
Or they're extremely evil and they're in the body of someone that's very unhealthy and is going to have like heart disease, and they just like fuck stuff up in the heart and clog everything up.
Well, isn't there cells that work black? That's an actual legit spinoff of Cells at Work.
Oh, yes, I do remember that, yeah.
Is Cells at Work Black a real thing?
Yes!
Yeah, it is.
Where they talk about the body working against itself?
No, like an unhealthy body where it's like a grimdark fantasy.
That sounds terrible!
Yeah, it's...
That's Osmosis Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, so... I don't know how I feel about platelet Cells at Work...
It'll be cute.
It will be cute.
Patch the hole.
So much lolly bait. Oh my gosh.
It's actually just going to be a flip book of just them, like, running around.
And having the red blood cells come around just pinching their cheeks. Yeah, they're cute.
Okay. What do we got?
All right. So let's take a little break about talking about anime. Let's talk about some music. Because apparently a recent study has shown the rise of two of my favorite, I know at least one of these, is your favorite, kind of music rising in listenership.
Polka core.
Nightcore.
So the music distribution company TuneCore has...
Oh god, I was close.
Yeah, very close. Has revealed that the two rising genres of music that have seen an increase in listenership. Number two is J-pop, with 133% increase. Mm-hmm. And number one is, with 154% increase, heavy metal.
Yay! Hey. So the interesting thing about that is there are almost literally 100 genres of metal. So... The question comes to is like, which genre of metal is it? And is this only in Japan? Or
no, this is in America.
Oh, in America.
Yeah, so more J-pop people in America are listening to J-pop and metal.
So, because literally everybody can be like, I listen to Metallica, and be like, oh, you like metal music, and it's just like, ugh. And then it's like somebody like me who's just like, all my bands come from Sweden.
Yes.
And I like power metal. And so and I don't know if they're counting that or if they're just
I think it's just a whole bubble of metal. So like people who would consider the Black Sabbath as like metal, and Metallica and Megadeth and Sabaton and Rammstein, all these different types of metal under one envelope or one under one bubble.
Copper and cadmium.
No, those are metals.
They're precious metals.
There has to be a metal band called Copper and Cadmium.
Or Precious.
That's Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, right. What if that was the original name and they just... But screw it, let's just turn them into people names.
Like, I don't know how to say this. If somebody has a speech impediment, that's how they said it.
Coheed and Cambria... Fine, whatever.
So that's cool, but I want to know where they got those statistics from, because that would be like, did they get it from Spotify or did they get it from iTunes or did they like get amalgamation of just everything?
I got the story right here. Hold on.
They asked every person leaving a bowling alley.
Yes. So it's actually. They got the statistics from Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, and more than 150 other music streaming and download services worldwide. So it's not just America, it's the entire world that's now listening to more metal and J-pop.
People are finally starting to realize that metal music isn't just like deathcore growling and grindcore and shrieking and all this stuff, that there's actually genres of metal that even... sissies can listen to, like I Prevail.
Metal is for everyone.
Yeah, like my boys. Like my boys.
Made of steel.
Freedom metal call is for everyone. I'm actually wearing my Freedom Call shirt right now. I got a brand new Freedom Call shirt. Shout out to
your friend's dad.
My friend's dad
bought you that shirt.
Look, I'm wearing a Freedom Call shirt.
That's awesome.
I got this last night. It's so awesome. I'm like so happy. I've never been happier with a t-shirt in my own life, whole entire life.
That's why I'm wearing my t-shirt. Yeah. That's the same. My Boom Tetris from Jeff shirt.
Boom Tetris for Jeff. We're all wearing our... Greg, what shirt are you wearing?
What t-shirt are you wearing, Greg?
Radio Massasoit.
Lift that shirt!
I do have a shirt under here. Hold on. Yeah, never mind. It's too hard to... Yeah, so I'm wearing a... never mind. Why explain the t-shirt?
Yeah, my t-shirt is in fact a metal band, so... And the best metal band in the world.
You know what I'm kind of wondering? I'm wondering if that metal statistic came from all the people who are now esports fans because League of Legends is now the number one esports in the entire world and more people watch the League of Legends finals than baseball, hockey, and I believe the Super Bowl.
I don't know about the Super Bowl.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, worldwide people watch League of Legends. Only America watches the Super
Bowl. Nope, and Canada. Oh. Canada watches the Super Bowl, too.
And some British people.
They do?
Yeah, because we've played NFL games over in Britain.
That's true. There's a lot of Patriots fans in Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they watch soccer in the UK. What my point is that everybody is listening to Pentakill, which is the League of Legends born metal band.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's actually pretty good.
And they're really good.
It's actually like, it's good power metal. Yep. It's really good power metal.
Yep. And so like in between games on the League of Legends streams, they play Pentakill. Everybody's listening to Pentakill and they're like, oh, I like this. And then they download Pentakill and then now Pentakill is probably like one of the biggest metal bands ever.
And then they discover power metal.
Yep.
And power metal's so good. I like power metal so much.
Can't recycle this.
All right. How about let's talk about some gaming news.
Yeah. Okay.
One of our favorite video game characters is coming back.
Sonic.
No.
I know who it is.
Yes.
Earthworm Jim.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite of all time.
Super Zoo of all.
So I have such mixed feeling about this. I will play a new Earthworm Jim game in an instant. However, it's on the Intellivision Amico, the system that nobody has heard of.
Yeah.
It's going to be a console exclusive for this.
Now, the question about the Intellivision Amigo is, like, what is it? Like, nobody actually knows what the system is, so...
Intellivision does. I went to their website to learn about it, and it looks confusing, like, in all honesty.
So now the president of Intellivision is Tommy Tallarico, who was the composer on all the Earthworm Jim games.
Oh,
Tallarico.
Yeah.
Tallarico.
Who also does video games live.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
That as well.
Interesting.
And I was actually seeing like all the people who are actually staff members of Intellivision who are launching this. And, you know, it's pretty impressive resume. A lot of people who used to be with like Sega and Nintendo and even like PlayStation and Xbox. So,
Zoom. Because that's what their controllers look like. They look like Zunes. Anyways,
so with this Earthworm Jim game, everybody who made this game way back when, back 25 years ago, is coming back to make the legit official fourth installment in the series.
Technically, this will be the third installment because the third installment of Earthworm Jim wasn't made by anybody who made the original two Earthworm Jims.
I thought you were just going to stop right there and just say not made by anybody. Yeah. And that's another, a solid question up to you, like, who made it?
I listened to Doug talk about the third Earthworm Jim, and he denies it. He denies Earthworm Jim 3D because he's just like, that wasn't any of us. That was a company trying to make a quick buck off of Jim.
Yep.
And he's like, so that wasn't any of us. So,
I think Shiny Entertainment, who released the first two games, own the rights to Jim, and they were just like, "Yeah, let's just release another one on a new console."
Right,
They didn't. And Shiny Entertainment at that time didn't have any of the same people who worked on the originals. So,
yeah.
And so, I think Shiny was able to. Well, they were able to get back their rights from Shiny, and now they're making a fourth game or third game.
Yeah,
I just really hope that that weirdness is back.
Oh,
like,
it will, oh, just, it will be. I mean, have you read Doug Tenable's recent works? It's still weird as hell.
Yeah, and he's also now creating an Earthworm Jim comic book because he
is he really?
Yep, he can create an Earthworm Jim comic book now.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting!
Yep, so I followed
I've
his.
I've never
last...
heard your voice get that high before.
So I followed
that's
his.
That's something to legitimately be excited about.
Yeah, I followed his last book, which was Bigfoot Bill.
Yeah,
Bigfoot Bill was going to be his rework character to bring back the spirit of Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, in a new character.
In a new character. And Bigfoot Bill was going to be it. He's even released to his backers, which I purchased, was a video game demo that was basically Earthworm Jim, but skinned as Bigfoot Bill.
You have that?
Not yet. It hasn't been released yet, but there's going to be a demo that you can play. Mm. But now, after this project had ended, I got an email from Psychro, the villain, one of the villains from Earthworm Jim. I got an email from Psychro saying to follow the Earthworm Jim comic book project.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I'm like legitimately excited about that. That makes me so happy.
All right, so here's my question now. Will Bigfoot Bill be in the new Earthworm Jim game?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question.
Maybe, I don't know.
Imagine if it's like a game where you can like, imagine you could, one player is Earthworm Jim, the other one is Bigfoot Bill.
That would be a great co-op game.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I really have never heard your voice go this
way. That's what I was saying.
This is what it sounds like when I can actually get legitimately excited about something, not just like, hey, who is this guy going to make him up?
I feel bad for like Evan and Derek and people who can't see your face right now because it is like so happy.
I'm so happy. Like, I think this is one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the return of Earthworm Jim for ages. And I mean, if I am, just think about how excited Jonathan is about that.
I have an Earthworm Jim shrine in my living room.
Yeah.
Come see it. It's real. I'm serious.
Do you have, like, a little Pope hat on top of Jim?
But, I mean, we also, like, listen to Doug all the time. Like, we watch his show and listen to his conversations and we're, like, following his art. And going through all that cool stuff and just seeing what he's involved in and so like being a part of that crew and being able to support him behind like his projects like Bigfoot Bill and stuff, which I still haven't read Bigfoot Bill. Can I?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Oh man, that is some great news that did not spiral into talking about horror animes.
Speaking of which...
Well, wait. We can, on more of the ecchi scale, we could talk about another video game that's actually being adapted into a movie. And that video game is Saints Row.
Oh, yeah.
That is right. Not where I thought where you were going with
Neither
this.
Neither did I.
Oh. Well, come on. Saints Row the Third. What's one of the weapons you can get for it?
Well, a very large, purple, inappropriate weapon.
Yes, the dildo bat.
See,
there it is.
Saints Row 2 was still the best Saints Row, though. Like, Saints Row 2 is the best Saints Row game that ever came out.
It was basically the anti-Grand Theft Auto. I remember remember the ad that came out for it? You could just go bowling, or you could go streak naked all around the street.
Like, even from, like, the first game, you were just like, oh, man, this isn't taking itself seriously. Like the
Well, I don't know.
There well, let's see. I would say that the first Saints Row was a legit clone of Grand Theft Auto. Saints Row 2 was when it started getting its own identity. But, you know, 3 and 4 are, like... such a blast to play, and 2 is great as well, but I felt like it was the third one, in my personal opinion, that like really got the comedy right.
Well, see, they may have gotten the comedy right, but the gameplay wasn't as good as number 2. Like, the gameplay is much better in number 2.
Yeah. That I can agree with.
And the customization in number 2 was also... Like, you could... Not only how you could customize your character... Like, you were very limited on how you could customize your character in Saints Row 3.
Yeah.
In Saints Row 2, you could customize him to the teeth of however you wanted.
Are you sure? Because also, I remember them being a shit ton of weird, cool shit that you could add to the third one.
But then after that, you could, like, do the base and the gang and the cars and, like, your personal vehicle.
Gotcha.
And like, all that stuff was just, like, decked to the teeth. And
gotcha, because that's right, because in the third and fourth one, you can only just customize yourself.
Which also wasn't that great, because there was, like, this really awesome cartoony feature to the first one.
The first two.
And then the third one looked a lot more based in reality.
Yeah, a lot more realistic.
Because I remember Andrew made a character in all three games called Old Man Gangster.
Yeah, and Old Man Gangster is the best character.
And he looked awesome in the first two games. And then in the third one, he was great, but he looked just more like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, so I made him skinny, impossibly skinny. I made his ears huge, his nose big. Like, I gave him a big old man scowl and stretched his mouth down, and I gave him a bald head and white hair, balding head. And it was great because he was this really skinny character. But then in Saints Row 3, you could only make him kind of buff.
Yeah.
And he was still an old, but you couldn't make his ears huge and you couldn't make his nose big. He just ended up kind of looking like Clint Eastwood, which is cool. I like Clint Eastwood a lot.
But I missed riding down the street on a chopper to the Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah. I totally did do that. Yeah. As this old man and a wife beater.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn. Yeah, everywhere's my lawn.
I had a blast with Saints Row.
So, anyways, what's about this movie?
So, F. Gary Gary, who directed The Fate and the Furious and Straight Outta Compton and the upcoming Men in Black International, is set to direct it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And currently the scriptwriter is Greg Russo, who is currently scripting the Mortal Kombat movie reboot and the Resident Evil movie reboot.
Uh-oh.
wait. This is the Resident Evil one is going to be more true to the actual games. Yeah. No more Mila Jovovich.
I'm sure it is. But my question is there have been issues with video game movies like this, which is ironically we're talking about this now and that's our topic for
today. Yeah, right.
The issue with video game movies that are based on a movie that is create your own character is how do you represent the main character in this movie? Because it's not your character.
You hardcore Henriette.
Huh?
Hardcore Henriette.
You could. And, hardcore Henry, if they put, a Saints Row skin on top of it, it could totally be a Saints Row movie.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing. But my guess is that it's going to be your character doesn't exist yet, because it's probably the rise and the fall of the Third Row Saints. Because when your character came into play, it's the rise of the Third Street Saints.
Yeah.
But before that, the Saints were someone else as well. So, cause then you get in touch with Gat and so maybe it's a movie about Gat, but before your character comes into play kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Or they could cast Nolan North to play the protagonist.
Cause I mean
it would fit.
Yeah. But well, yeah, I guess.
He's old. He could be Old Man Gangster.
Yeah. Old Man Gangster.
Yeah. He could be Old Man Gangster. And Daniel Day Kim can reprise his role as Johnny Gat.
There you go.
Because he was really good in the Hellboy movie.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay, I still haven't seen Hellboy, so I don't.
Cool. It's very enjoyable.
That's cool.
Happy with the way the world is heading? Don't buy this book. Understand why you do what you do? Don't buy this book. At peace with your existence, don't buy this book. Content with your relationships, don't buy this book. The follow-up to The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson is finally here. Everything is Fucked, a book about hope, out now.
All right, what do we got?
I think that's it for actual really cool news that we could all really discuss. All
right, that's good, because we're about an hour into the
podcast we are. Already.
Wait, hold on. There's one movie that we haven't talked about that's based on a game adaptation.
Oh, I think Derek also has an Into the West.
You were saving that?
Yeah. We'll
Darn, I really wanted to look into it further.
Well, no, we're going to save it for the topic.
That was a bad pun. All right, go ahead.
All right.
Oh, so...
The Guess Who movie? The I Spy movie? No,
Clue?
Yeah. So we should move on to what we're watching.
No, hold on. Derek has a Into the West.
Oh.
Are you guys Are you guys fans of Last Week Tonight?
I've seen episodes. Yeah, I watched more of the first season than...
I'm not.
All right, well, I definitely suggest watching the episode from, what would it be?
A couple of weeks ago?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes, so John Oliver decided to conquer the concept of the Japanese mascots for towns, and especially the mascot Chitan, who is not really an official mascot, but pretty much reigns in... Oh, what's the name of the town?
Is that the one that keeps getting beat up?
Yeah, that's the one that,
beats up different things. And, like, it has a nice social media presence where there's a bunch of videos of it just, like, in a dark, windowless room, just, like, beating up a training dummy and stuff. Or, like...
My favorite one is where she's trying to play piano.
Oh, God. So, the town wants Chitan out, so John Oliver is actually trying to create his own mascot to fill the void, called Chi-John. Okay, so the actual mascot for the town is named Shinjo-kun, and I can't...
And who's got the bowl of ramen on top of its head?
Yes, it's an otter with a bowl of ramen on the head, and it's the mascot for Susaki. With an aging population of 20,000, quote, is not quite sure whether to laugh or cry.
So now it has three mascots in this town.
Yes. Technically four, because Chitan was based on an actual otter that became a mascot. So there was Shinjo-kun, the real Chitan, the mascot Chitan, and now Chi-John.
And Chi-John looks almost like Chi-Tan, but with John Oliver's haircut and glasses.
And a nice little checkered collar and tie.
Oh my gosh.
But that's not where the story ends.
Yeah, Chi-Tan does not like his turf being stepped on, so Chi-Tan's coming right out there and challenging John Oliver to a match to see if he wants to, quote, explode through some tables. But Chi-John is officially in Susaki, and apparently Susaki is, like, endorsing him, or letting him stay. So, we're taking over Japan, one city at a time. Here we go.
and through the Empire.
Praise be the Reiwa era!
Already off to a good start, Reiwa era.
Nice.
And was that Into the West?
Yeah, I think that was Into the West.
Now that was Into the West.
Now, let's talk about a little bit about what we're watching. We got some new shows that we've been talking about.
Even Greg has some new shows that he's been watching.
Well, they're new to me.
They're new to you, and that's why you can still talk about them.
Okay.
But I've been watching Helpful Kitsune Senko-san.
Oh, that show's so good.
Doga Kobo's new disgustingly cute show about a fox girl that helps this guy who is having a rough time with his job life, and she just does things that is disgustingly cute. And I'm almost sickened by how adorable the show is.
Now,
I will beat someone over the head with my new cane for a plushie of Senko-san.
Now, is this a full half-hour show?
Yep, yes. Full half-hour show.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can handle that.
No, listen, it is so comforting. It's the half-hour you need, man.
So, it is Doga Kobo, uh-huh. So it's very good in its quality of how cute it is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I love everything they do. And
even the first person perspective parts at the end of each episode, that like the one room part aspect is creepy in one room, but in this show they do it so well.
That is a thing. I forgot about that for a little bit, but now you reminded me and I was like, yeah, okay. Like I love how cute Doga Kobo is able to make everything, and it's funny how they just get, like, they know that if they need to make, or have a studio that needs to make something cute, they go straight to Doga Kobo. It's really fascinating. I can see this show getting a little tiring, but I only watched the first episode, so I'm waiting to see what all the other episodes bring to me.
I will say that, like, as someone who's seen, like, all the current four episodes, like, how relatable, like, the main guy is in this series. And I think that's the big draw. Like this guy is overtired, he's overworked. He kind of is a representation of, like, how our generation tends to be with our current jobs. And Senko-san comes in and kind of bees, like, the pillow that every guy or every girl needs to lay on after, you know, this long, hard day at work.
I almost think that that's the problem with the show, though, is that she's like this character where, like, because everybody likes to come home, and everybody would, like, dead wish to come home and find their own Senko-san waiting for them.
That too, yeah.
And it's kind of depressing in that fact where it's just like, well, this is fake, so that's not going to happen. So it's just like, how do I get rid of my stress? You know, it's just like, it's nice that
that's where the plushies come in.
It's nice that this guy has a fox spirit making dinner for him when he comes home, but where's my Senko-san getting groceries from the gods?
Yeah, get on it, Japan. This is the Reiwa era. You're supposed to be adding something new and fresh, man. Give us all fox girls, damn it.
Oh, well, okay. I'll go for that. So Senko-san is cute. I have been enjoying watching it, and I'm also catching up on Shield Hero. I'm two episodes behind now. Maybe three. Greg, you just started Shield Hero, right?
I would say I'm more than halfway through it, actually.
Seriously?
I started last night, I think, with two or three episodes. And then for some reason today, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a great day. I'm going to work on my final. and then I started working on it. I threw on some Shield Hero. And then I kept looking back and forth. And then I gradually put down my final, and then I laid on my bed for the next 4 hours and watched Shield Hero.
So what episode are you on?
I just finished episode 10, so I'm on 11.
Whoa, wow. Nice. Okay. Yes. I think I'm on episode 15, so you're almost to where I'm at.
Ah, darn it. I was hoping to be ahead of you.
I love Shield Hero. It's so good. It's so good.
I feel like, even though it's the isekai?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how the main character is, to me, seems to be different from other main characters of other isekais.
Well, see, when Jonathan first introduced this show to me, which got me onto the show,
yeah,
I was just like, it's an isekai, it's stupid, I'm not going to watch it. And then I actually watched it, I was like, oh, this is different, this is weird.
I was like, this guy seems like an a-hole, but he's like not, just being straightforward.
Yeah, and I like him for that. Like, I like it because it's just like, he's not going to take crap from anybody. Like, what is he, like, he could destroy the world if he wanted to. Like, why? And it's just nice. I like the mentality of the character a lot.
It like threw me off at first because I expect him to be like, yeah, you're welcome for saving you, whatnot. But he's like, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I do expect you to pay me no matter what. Yeah. It's like, dude, these people you're helping are dirt poor. They have no money. He's like, oh, just pay me back later. It's like, yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah. No, I've been super enjoying it as well. And I am a little confused. Like, the more you watch it, you'll probably see this as well. But I'm getting a little confused at where, like, I think they're getting a little stuck as, like, how bad they want to make these other characters out to be. Because, like, the side characters keep flip-flopping on how evil they are. And it's just like, okay, now they're really evil. Oh, now they're only kind of evil. Oh, now they're a joke. Oh, now they're back to being really evil. Oh, now they're... So, like, that's kind of inconsistent, which is unfortunate.
Well, I think it's a matter of, it's, like, a personal battle because they want to side with the king, but at the same time, they realize they might be starting to realize their mistakes. But so, they're like...
That's most of the issue, though, is that, like, they still don't believe him, even though he's, like, proven it the whole way through that he's not a bad guy, and it's just like, well, that would never happen, but, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, especially with, you know, now that you bring up that point, I think about the spear hero, and it's just like...
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. He keeps flip-flopping on how evil he actually is. Because he's not evil, he's just an idiot. And that's, like, the problem I have. It's just like, okay...
Isn't that, like, every single Earthworm Jim villain? He's not evil, he's just an idiot.
Yeah, well, but that's just it, is like, okay, how long can you just be an idiot for before you're just a bad guy? And, like, and that's where the show is having trouble with me, like, where I'm having trouble accepting that he's not just an idiot, he's a bad guy, but it's really just, oh, he's just an idiot. And it's like, ah, okay, I get it. Like, come on.
So with that said, I'm still wondering why they discriminate against the S.H.I.E.L.D. hero.
Exactly. And that's yeah. what I'm saying.
They I didn't know if really you would have found that out because you're a few episodes ahead of me.
No, not really. That's
that's kind of a letdown because I want to know why the king and everyone's being so nasty. Like, well, it just doesn't make sense.
You kind of understand, and I think it maybe I haven't had it fully explained to me yet, but it's like it's kind of there. You'll catch up and you'll see. I have like 3 more episodes to watch before I'm fully caught up, but there's still like, I don't know how many more like 9 or 10 episodes left in the season.
They're on. Oh, okay. I was going to say, right now they're on episode, what, 17, I think, for S.H.I.E.L.D. Hero?
Something like that. It's 4 episodes past. Yeah, so 17.
Okay.
Evan, what have you been watching?
So on Netflix, they finally premiered the new stop-motion anime series, Rila Kuma and Karu.
Her?
Yeah. Yeah, I was waiting for you to go, oh, I've heard about this, so I guess not. So as... So you know the character Rila Kuma, right? The little cute little bear that's like on just about as much merchandise as Hello Kitty is?
Maybe.
Now you do!
Alright, so Rila Kuma is basically this lazy bear. And the show Rila Kuma is about the bear and two of his friends now living in an apartment with this woman named Karu. And the show is just basically about... the woman trying to move on from, you know, where she was, like, in college to now being an adult. So it kind of has this sort of a Gretzko kind of feel in the way it's trying to teach about, you know, being responsible, being an adult, and being, like, all these sorts of things. But it's, like, all presented in what should be, like, a kid's show. But it's, like, the show is more geared towards the adults that are watching the show with their kids than it is with the little children.
Interesting.
And the stop motion is very well done. It does remind me a lot of, like, you know, a much better animated version of, like, the old Rankin Bass stuff.
Ah.
So
interesting.
So, you know, Japan does a really great job when it comes to, like, stop motion animation. And
like Pengu?
Like Pengu, yes. Like with Pengu. The show is about 13 episodes, and each episode's like 10 minutes long. So it's a very quick watch. But it's really relaxing, it's very funny, and all in all, like, it's definitely a show that, like, although I heard about it, I wasn't really expecting too much about it, you know, too much of it. But it wound up really surprising me with the life lessons it taught throughout the whole series. So, if you've got Netflix, definitely go check that out. And, of course, the other show that I've been watching and very excited about is Isekai Quartet.
Yes.
So, with Isekai Quartet having the universes of Konosuba, ReZero, Overlord, and Saga of Tiny the Evil literally under one school roof. And it's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. Which says a lot.
Why did they choose Saga of Tanya the Evil over other isekais that are more popular?
Well, because Saga of Tanya the Evil is pretty popular in Japan.
That's really interesting because she doesn't seem to fit in with those other characters or with those other.
Well, that's why it's funny when like Kazuma and Ainz like have like the same thought of, oh, they're from another war based world, or like they're from, because like one's a war based, one's a fan, and like everybody else is fantasy based.
Yeah. Like, see, and that's what I mean. Like, I feel like she's out of place. Like, they should have put...
You would think that, but, like, during episode 3 and episode 4, when she's talking with Ainz Al-Goon, you'll find that the two of them have a lot of similarities. Especially when they talk about salarymen.
Huh.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like, out of all the shows, the only series I hadn't been watching was ReZero. So now I'm actually... going back and watching ReZero so I can understand a lot of the in-jokes that are happening there.
Yeah, like all the jokes of Rem, like...
All the Rem jokes, all the reason why he, what's his name? Is it Satoru?
I think it's Subaru.
Subaru. Yeah. Like Subaru always like introduces himself as being like broke or something like that. But so I'm trying to see what the joke is about that aspect. So I'm now I've watched the first two episodes, which technically is actually just the first episode of ReZero. And like I'm enjoying it. I'll see where it takes me and see if the hype is real with it. But I think Isekai Quartet is really getting the comedy right, especially when it comes to seeing all these different characters from different worlds interacting with one another. And they're interacting in the way that you could only have imagined in your head until this show could have been created.
Hmm. I would have not even imagined them in my head.
Well, you see, I've always imagined Konosuba, and even though I hadn't seen it, ReZero, because the creators of both series are actually like really good friends, and they meet up for like lunch and dinner to like compare each other's works to, you know, make
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, and basically to make sure that nobody, like, they're not doing the same thing as they're doing, and they're even helping each other out, like flesh things out. There's even a there's a ReZero store.
C.S. Lewis.
There's even a ReZero story that has, I think, Amelia being transported into the world of Konosuba.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it.
Sweet.
Anybody have anything else? Great.
Get going. Sold.
Then we are going to move on to our Topagotchi for today, which we've already talked about pretty much throughout the entirety of the show.
Yeah, we've already talked about Sonic. We've already talked about Saints Row. And what else can we talk about video game movies?
Other than that, most of them are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
Should we look into it now? Should we find some clues about what movie this is going to be?
What are you talking about, Greg? Just tell us what you're talking about.
Can I reveal it now?
Yes.
Detective Pikachu, duh.
Yes, I know. Oh. Yeah. So, Detective Pikachu... Well, have any of us seen Detective Pikachu yet?
No, but I've heard a lot of early reports, and they're saying it's actually pretty great.
I thought it came out this week.
No, it comes out on the 10th.
What?
Yeah.
I was with everybody at D&D yesterday, and they were all like, let's go see it tomorrow.
They're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I guess so. I didn't even know, because I was just like, okay. Yeah, Detective Pikachu. I mean, we've talked Detective Pikachu to death on the show already. I think it looks fun. I think it looks cute. And I think it'll be... I don't think it'll be anything like... This is our standard for Pokemon movies now, because I think because it's like an alternate universe Pokemon already, it's just there to be fun, like and a good movie, and it looks good quality. Like the quality looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see. Yeah, I can't wait to see the live renditions of the Pokemon and how they would look in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot of good ones that they've showcased. I mean, I know Mr. Mime's pretty creepy, but that Bulbasaur that they show is so adorable.
What? I remember seeing the live adaptation of like Ivysaur and Venusaur, and that was really creepy. Is Bulbasaur actually cute?
Bulbasaur is really cute.
Bulbasaur has always been notoriously like much cuter than Venusaur and Ivysaur because like they're just gross.
Bulbasaur.
That same theory kind of applies to real life people. They're really cute as kids, and then when they grow up, they get ugly.
Really? Have you ever seen you've never seen the customers who have like these ugly ass kids at my store?
I just say, yep, that's another baby.
Yeah.
They all look the same.
Can't wait to definitely eat another this, one. Baby.
So Pikachu.
So Detective Pikachu looks fun. I have high hopes that that's going to be another movie added to the list of good video game adaptation movies.
Which is a very short list.
Because, I mean, Silent Hill's on that list, in my opinion. I think I say Silent Hill's also on that list.
Yeah,
but the first
Silent Hill.
Second Silent Hill movie was really bad. It was basically a Silent Hill fan fiction, the movie, which was really bad.
It's the pachinko game brought to the big screen.
I think Rampage was a pretty good video game movie.
Yeah, I've been hearing that movie is actually pretty fun.
You never saw it?
No, I never saw it. Did you saw it though?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about it.
It's been a few months, but circle back to me on that. I'll get some mental.
Okay, but you think that you thought that Rampage was good, because we've been getting feedback from people in our Wicked Anime fans that also say that it was like it was a fun movie to watch, and it was,
yeah, it was very fun. I thought, I mean, the plot was pretty basic, generic, but the way the characters interacted and the witty banter, it was very well put together, and I thought the character design was very good for Hollywood, because usually you expect that high level and you don't see that in these video game movies. But
so you're basically saying The Rock kept his promise to actually make a good video game movie for once.
No, this was the first one he was in.
No! Hey, oh, you never saw Doom.
Awesome.
Yeah, Doom's great.
Oh, I did not see Doom, so I can't comment
on it. It's a really bad movie, but it's so good.
Yeah. You mean like King Arthur? Well, it was a really bad movie, but it was wildly entertaining.
I haven't heard anything like that about
the Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie?
The latest one that
came out. Yeah, the Guy Ritchie one.
Charlie
Hunnam.
Yeah.
Does he shake his head and say something sincerely?
I think so.
The Doom movie was always, like, that was, I mean, we almost got into, like, dub casting.
Yeah.
Like, we almost redubbed the entire
Back in the day, when Andrew and I were young filmmakers, we would take bad movies and we would redub them. And one of our projects, one of our projects was Doom, which was coming out really good. And then we just stopped because we were like 12. And then we were also working on The Departed as well.
And Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers came out really good.
Yeah. It was fun.
And we only got, for The Departed, we only got to the script writing process for Departed. And then we lost all of our cast members who were supposed to be a part of it. But I remember everything Mark Wahlberg did in the movie, he was supposed to squeak.
Yes.
And like,
it was going to be funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah.
I feel like that could be a potential fun idea to do for down the line.
I agree, actually.
Yeah.
We could bring that back.
All we need is audio, right?
Well, because we don't need to rip anything anymore. Like, we used to have to rip everything back in that day. Now you don't really have to rip anything at all. So everything's available on the internet already. So we could just dub over The Departed.
Yep.
I would love that.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be fun.
That was awful.
But yeah, Doom was one of our projects for that. And did you know, I did not know this, but Carl Urban in this movie, he plays a character named Reaper. Mm-hmm. And so for the first person shooter part of the Doom movie, I took it upon myself to re-sound effects the entire scene so that we could play that to Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. Did you know that Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper is the exact same length as the first-person shooter scene?
Yeah.
You can just click and drag it and drop it right in place, and it's the exact same length.
So actually, it makes you wonder if maybe they were trying to license the song and they went, no.
it's actually pretty in sync with it as well.
Yep.
It's pretty in sync. It's really wild. We did that experiment just as 12-year-olds.
Do you think it was meant to be the soundtrack for that scene?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. We were older than 12 because we were in high school, but
yeah.
12-year-olds was a joke.
Hyperbole.
I hope we weren't watching rated R films as 12-year-olds.
Well, we probably were.
Yeah.
I watched Caddyshack when I was 5.
Yeah, our dad showed us Stripes way too early in life.
I love Stripes.
Wasn't Stripes PG back then?
No. Stripes is very rated R.
Stripes is very rated R.
If you need proof of why Stripes is rated R, just look at the scene where the general is like looking at the women's showers.
Yes.
Super explicit.
Colonel. Yeah,
Colonel.
I remember watching Revenge of the Nerds as a kid, and they showed the scene where they're peeping on the girls, and like, oh, you see everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, they like pushed back in the 80s. So.
And then Ronald Reagan came in and be like, we cannot have this many boobies in our movies.
Good jokes. Because that's a Bush joke. Because like Bush was president in the 80s. And then
Ronald Reagan came in. And then there was no more Bush.
There'll be no more Bush and boobies in PG or R-rated movies.
We haven't even started talking about the worst of the worst video game movies, which is the career that was Uwe Boll's.
The only thing that I think is worse than Uwe Boll is, what's his name, Anderson?
Cancer? Guy?
Paul, do you up W.S. Anderson?
Paul W.S. Anderson of Resident Evil and soon to be Monster Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's more embarrassing than
yeah.
Uwe Boll. You think so? Oh, man. Like, so Uwe Boll's answer to people saying that they hate his movies is, all right, well, step into the boxing ring and I'll beat you up.
Punch you.
It's, like, his legitimate argument to your movies suck is, well, then I beat you. I'm going to beat you up.
Well, but that's because Uwe Boll is a character. Like, Uwe Boll makes horrible movies because he knows that they'll sell tickets.
Yep.
But they don't. That's the thing. They've never, like, cracked a top 10 in movies.
Yeah, like, But he's still able to make them. Like, so, like, I think the first one he really made that everybody paid attention to was House of the Dead.
Yep.
No, it was Blood Rain, I thought. And then it was House of the Dead.
Blood Rain came after. I have the Wikipedia up for video game adaptation movies. Let me find out.
It sounds like he should learn a thing or two from Tommy Wiseau.
But Tommy Wiseau is a genius.
But his movie was terrible.
Have you ever seen Best Fiends?
No.
Oh, I really want to see that.
It's actually surprisingly good.
It's because Tommy Wiseau, like, everybody says that The Room is a vanity project, and he was terrible at making movies. I seriously think it was a joke. Because Tommy Wiseau was, like, friends with Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
So, like, how can you be friends with Tim and Eric and be like, oh, I'm going to make something that's really good quality and make something that's crap and think that every... Plus... Tommy Wiseau is a genuinely nice guy. Like, Tommy Wiseau is one of the coolest dudes. Like, if you've ever seen an interview with him, he's so nice. He's so nice. He's, like, the nicest guy. It's really funny.
So, just FYI, House of the Dead came out 3 years earlier than Blood Rain.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And did Uwe Boll really do Blood Rain?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And then he did Dead or Alive, I think. Or did somebody else do Dead or Alive?
No, someone else did Dead or Alive.
Because it's at the same quality. It's terrible.
We saw that. Like, I think we watched that in college, right?
Yeah, with Jared. Yeah.
We watched Dead or Alive in college.
I think did he do In Name of the King?
Yes.
The Dungeon Siege? Yes, the Dungeon
Which,
Siege movie.
Which I will say is his most watchable movie.
That doesn't...
But what about Dungeon Siege 2 with Dolph Lundgren?
I don't think he did that one.
Oh.
That one's not even on this list
of movies.
You say
Dolphin
movies.
Siege?
No, Dungeon Siege.
Dungeon Siege
with Dolph Lundgren.
I honestly thought you said Dolphin Siege.
I want to throw my hat in the ring to the best video game adaption movie of all time, which is the Street Fighter movie.
Oh my god!
And that's not hyperbole for me. I really, truly, everybody hates it so much, but I really, truly love the Street Fighter movie. With Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Bisonopolis.
Yeah, with Bisonopolis, and for me it was Tuesday, and like, all that good stuff that was in it. It was campy cheese, and it was like just like it was supposed to be, and it came out so damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Zangief is a bad guy in that movie, but Zangief has never actually been a bad guy.
Yeah, well, it's like the same reason why they made him a bad guy in Wreck-It Ralph. It's because you don't know how to categorize him.
And like, and Dhalsim was also in the bad guys roster because he's like Dr. Dhalsim. He was the scientist who like
Dr. Dhalsim.
He was the scientist who made
Charlie Blanca.
Charlie Blanca. Yeah. And it was like, oh my gosh! Like that movie is so good. It's so bad. It's so good.
It's wrong on every level. It's. But it doesn't compare anything to, like, when they were being serious about making the Mortal Kombat movie, and then Mortal Kombat Annihilation came out.
Which was the first fan fiction movie to ever come out.
Yeah. Everybody thought that, like, I remember thinking that Mortal Kombat Annihilation was cool when it first came out, and then watching it, like, 10 years later and being like, oh my gosh.
That didn't age well.
Yeah. Actors changed.
It was never good in the first place,
yeah.
But oh yeah, it was legitimately a fan fiction. You can read,
which I did.
Yeah,
I read like I narrated everything they did like a screenplay while I was watching the movie, and it reads like a fan fiction.
Yeah, and then Sub-Zero does a flip,
and Sub-Zero does backflips over the ice bridge while ice gets shot at him.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's so good. So, yeah, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is really fun as a video game movie that's bad to watch. But then, let's go back to Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. Because Street Fighter was a good, bad video game movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then there's Legend of Chun-Li, which is like a bad
that was video horrible. Game movie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You, don't watch Legend of Chun-Li. Read Chun-Li Legends by Omar Dogan.
Yeah. Oh, does this tell you how much it made? What's this? Worldwide box office. Oh, they even have the numbers for that. For all of these movies, how much did Legend of Chun-Li made $12 million.
Only $12 million?
Yeah. And it got a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Which is, what's the lowest percentage movie? It looks like Alone in the Dark got...
Oh, God, that's another Uwe Boll movie.
There's a 0% on here. Tekken! Tekken got a 0%.
Because nobody watched it.
Yeah, no one watched it. $1 million. It didn't even make $1 million. It came and went.
Whoa, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. There's a lot of films that are not on this list that should be. I forgot about Alone in the Dark. Has anybody seen that movie? That was a great video game.
I saw a little bit of Alone in the Dark. Well, yeah, the video game is cool because it was part of that. It was part of that era of horror survival games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill.
Could someone explain to me about Alone in the Dark why your character has duck feet?
Are you talking about the original one or Alone in the Dark: A New Nightmare?
The original Alone in the Dark.
Because the original Alone in the Dark was built before 3D technology was available.
Wait, wasn't that also a Nickelodeon TV show?
That's Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Starring Ryan Gosling.
What?
Ryan Gosling was in an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Uh-huh. Oh boy.
Because it was Canadian.
That's right. I didn't know it was Canadian.
So was Goosebumps.
Yeah, so was Goosebumps.
Which actually has... one of the actors is Ben Cook, especially in Piano Lessons Could Be Murdered, who is now the guitarist for the band Fucked Up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many Resident Evil movies on this list.
Oh, they're all so bad. Resident Evil Apocalypse was so funny, though.
Oh, yeah. It was a joy to watch for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, because we were just laughing at it.
And Extinction came and kind of ruined everything.
I don't know. I think the only one I've actually seen is the first one and then Apocalypse. Because W.S. Anderson is embarrassing.
I saw the first Resident Evil 3D film. I think it was Resident Evil 5 in the movie theater. And that was just bad.
3D.
The 3D was just non-existent in that movie.
Is there a liquor in that movie and the liquor tongue comes at you out of the screen?
Nope. Doesn't.
What?
Nope. There's a liquor, but the tongue doesn't come to your screen.
What? That's a waste.
It was the second worst 3D movie I'd ever seen next to Saw 3D. And Saw 3D had like only one sequence that was entirely in 3D. And that's when one of the characters throws a key and the key is in 3D. And that's it.
Wow. You could do so many things with Saw 3D and they wasted it on a key.
Yep, they did.
Wow.
It was horrible.
Saw Key D.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Could have solved all their problems.
Gimmicks.
Ooh. I forgot that there was an Assassin's Creed movie. See that? Yeah, with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that was even a thing.
I heard it was...
Isn't it Fassbender?
Yeah.
It's whatever.
All right. Something Bender.
Jonathan's very good at saying people's names wrong.
Speaking of Ubisoft, I know this might be controversial, but I did like the Prince of Persia movie.
That's not that controversial.
Yeah, people have said that.
That movie's pretty split.
Yeah.
People said that
I know Jake Gyllenhaal's not Air Arabian, but his acting in it was really good. Yeah. As is Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley plays a very good bad guy in that movie. It makes up for what he had to do in Blood Rain.
Kingsley plays a good bad guy in like everything that he does.
Yeah, because
he's just Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, but except in Blood Rain.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max Payne. Remember Max Payne?
That was horrible. What an abomination.
Like that was already a noir film. It could have been such a great film right off the bat, and they messed it up. It was the easiest one to make.
Dude, all of these movies are the easiest things to make. I just don't understand. Like, it's not that hard.
Kids love the Max Payne. We're going to make it PG-13.
I know.
No.
I mean, Max Payne isn't the video game. The first video game wasn't really that R-rated.
There's a blowjob scene.
There is?
Yeah, there's a scene where he finds a gangster and a woman comes from underneath and, like, wipes her mouth.
Huh, that quietness, and then talking about a subject I didn't think we were going to go there, went there.
Max Payne 2 was great, though.
Yeah.
Max Payne 2 was a great game.
Max Payne 2 could have spawned so many movies of its own just by the TV shows you can watch on the TVs.
Oh, yeah, Max Payne. Captain Baseball, Bat Boy.
No, I think the better one would have been
Address Unknown. Was like, I remember when I had that game, Andrew and I would sit and watch every episode of Address Unknown.
We watched every episode of Address Unknown because it was so good.
You see, and I think Address Unknown was a precursor to what they were going to do with Alan Wake.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Address Unknown was very Twin Peaks like, and then Alan Wake came out, and we were just like, this is kind of like an interactive Twin Peaks.
I don't think I've ever seen Twin Peaks.
I've heard good things.
I need to see it.
Producer Cap, this is one of his their favorites. Mm. So.
Okay. Are we done?
We can be.
We've been talking about video game movies are exhausting, man.
I know.
There's a lot.
Because they drain our soul when we realize how horrible most of them are. You know, one other thing. I once paid full admission to see the Double Dragon movie.
Really?
Back in the 90s.
We paid full admission to watch the first Hitman movie.
That's right.
Agent 47.
I remember enjoying the Double Dragon movie, but then when I watched the Nostalgia Critic review of the Double Dragon movie and seeing how horrible it was, I realized that maybe children shouldn't be critics.
Well, when we went to go see the Hitman movie in theaters, I was able to... Because Hitman was my favorite, is still probably one of my favorite game franchises, but was at the time, and I could just basically go through the entire lore of Hitman, and the movie just got none of the lore correct.
Skipped it all.
It was all wrong. Like, from scene one of the movie, it's just like, wow, this movie is already dead wrong. But it does have Timothy Olyphant in it.
Yeah, but then it gets worse when Agent 47 came out, like, years later, and it's like, he's not even trying to be Silent Assassin.
Yeah, what is Silent Assassin? I don't know. Let's shoot all these cops, like, swinging from buildings. What?
Yeah.
It's like the director was like, I don't like playing stealth mode. I'm just going to do, like, bangy.
Just goes loud, does mass murderer.
Hey, did you know that there is an untitled Mario film slated for the year 2022?
Is Bob Hoskins going to be in it?
No, it's Illumination Animation's going to be making it.
Oh.
Interesting.
Ooh. Interesting.
Speaking of Street Fighter films, the Street Fighter 2 film, which I bought while I was at Anime Boston.
Yo, that movie's so good.
Sorry, I got the Fatal Fury. I already own the Street Fighter 2 movie. The red cover version.
Yeah,
because you could see Chun-Li's boobs.
Yes.
And it's also just generally more violent. I'm not that much of a pervert.
You're married. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, right? She doesn't listen to this podcast anyways.
But see, listens to you record it.
Hi, Christy.
Yeah, she's not anywhere near us.
Derek, where have you been all podcast?
I've been here. I just don't watch a lot of video game movies, so unfortunately I don't really have much input there.
Fair enough.
I think he's one of the fortunate ones who's never been tortured by watching an Uwe Boll movie.
We should all sit down and watch Postal someday.
Or Rampage.
I hear Postal
is actually pretty decent.
I don't know. Rampage is...
That wasn't a video game movie, though.
I know, but it's an Uwe Boll movie. Yeah. No.
There's
a movie that Uwe Boll made called Rampage, and it's about a mass shooter. And the whole movie is him building up his plan to be a mass shooter, and then he kills everybody in his town.
And gets away with it.
And that's the end of the movie.
So it's a happy ending?
Yeah, like, it's just like, oh... I guess he wins.
So it's like he came up with the idea for the movie version of the game Hatred before Hatred even existed.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yes. Pretty much.
And then Uwe Boll made another movie called Attack on Wall Street, which is just like, I wonder what political message he's trying to push there. And it's just like, the picture is like a guy with a gun and an explosion in front of a bank.
No, wait a minute. That was Rampage 2, because that is the same guy.
No, there is a Rampage 2.
I'm pretty sure it's Attack on Wall Street.
No, there is a Rampage 2, and then there's Attack on Wall Street.
Okay, Wikipedia, tell me all of Uwe Boll's movies.
Yeah.
The cops are going to show up at your door and be like, are you okay? We saw you Googling Uwe Boll movies. Is there something wrong with you?
This is the best part, because I just looked up Uwe Boll, and he did come up in there, but look at what he's labeled as on Google.
That is very incorrect.
let me see.
I want to know if you get the same thing.
Bowl.
What are they called? Lead actress or something?
Restaurateur.
A restaurateur.
Restaurateur and amateur filmmaker.
Filmography.
I like movies, but food is my passion.
I didn't know he did Alone in the Dark. No wonder.
Yes, I did. I mentioned that.
We just talked about so many Uwe Boll movies that we didn't even know. Yeah, you're right. Attack on Wall Street is not a Rampage movie. Rampage President Down. That's the...
So stupid.
Rampage Capital Punishment. Rampage President Down.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess he just doesn't know that it's, like, it's... I don't even know.
Well, it says he's retired from filmmaking and now owns restaurants.
Does he like just steal other people's foods and like makes them himself, but worse?
So basically a bald Guy Fieri?
Whoa. Bold claim in Flavor Town. Yeah, all right, everybody.
It's actually, he's in a strip mall right next to a Chinese food store, and he literally just buys the food from next door and then brings it to the tables with his guests in his store.
I'm a restaurateur. I'll beat you up if you say I'm not.
It's a boxing ring. All right, guys. If you want to join us on our conversation about video game movies, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have our messaging system, and you can comment on our podcast, and you can comment on our news stories. And there's also a beautiful little link at the top, pinned to the top of the page, to our Discord. Hey, you should join us on Discord, because we basically became meme lords, and we post about the Sonic movie about all day long, and it's pretty fun. We have a good time sharing memes on the Wicked Anime page, but we also have topics that you can talk about on there. So join us at the Wicked Anime Discord. Link is on Facebook for free. Join whenever you like. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not listening to the podcast right there, right now, or on our other podcasting websites such as Acast or Google or Spotify or Podchasers or anywhere else where you can find your podcasting goodness, Sara, like iTunes and stuff. You can also find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we have the Wicked Anime videos posted, where you can watch some fun classics of Wicked Anime. And, of course, you can find us on the social medias, where you can find us at twitter.com. Tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. And I believe that's all we got. So, Evan, what do you got?
So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. Don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Those Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. And we are slowly but surely pushing out all the interviews and cosplay photos that were taken at Anime Boston 2019. I'm in the midst of doing all the interview stuff. I just went through all of Elite Four Derek's pictures that he took at the convention. He did a fantastic job with all of that.
Yeah.
So I hope, and remember, if you see a picture of yourself that you cosplayed as, please contact us. We will gladly send you the original untouched photo for your personal enjoyment.
I touched it.
Eric.
Hi, well, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Elite4Derek. Otherwise, I'm obviously touching photographs. But when I'm not doing that, I am starting up a new Asian fusion restaurant with UA Bowl.
Surprise! And he's also going to be catching up on his video game movies. Great.
Yes. Like Pong, the movie.
Asteroids.
I really like how the dialogue and the plot kind of goes really back and forth there. And that's all that I got.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will record another episode someday.
This subject just wears us out, man.
Yeah. Am I the only one who's lightheaded?
I don't know. I got home at like 3 a.m. last night.
Woo!
This morning, I guess you could say.
So we're gonna turn in early, and so we're prepared for the next recording, and you can listen to it then. So until that time comes, it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
All I could think of is I'm like, huh, anime.
Listen, I've heard that song far more times than you have.
I know.
And it sounds nothing like what you're humming. You're humming right now sounds like a 1970s game show theme song.
No, it's the Dragon Ball Super theme. That's
really close.
Did we just rip it off?
No.
Andrew made that Wicked Anime theme years before Dragon Ball Super was even a thing.
So they ripped us off.
Yeah.
Let's get reparations.
Akira Toriyama, you've done it again.
Let's get
him. Can we have some money, please? No.
He doesn't have any money. Good joke.
No, it's not the same song. He just made it undergo a transformation. So it's different now.
It's not even the song's final form yet.
Hey, London. It's the weekend. And here at Now TV, we take your free time seriously. That's why we've got loads of the latest shows and movies. There's Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. Zac Efron plays Ted Bundy, the notoriously charming serial killer. Or plenty of glitz and glamour in the south of France, until things start exploding in the gripping drama Riviera. So whatever you're in the mood for, Now TV's got you covered. 18 plus month passes auto-renew, terms apply.